Hi, everyone. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jeremy.
Authors of See You at the Campground, a guide to discovering community, connection, and a happier family in the great outdoors.
10 years ago, we bought a pop-up camper that changed our lives and introduced us to the joys of RV travel.
Join us now as we talk about where to camp, what gear to bring, and the best food to cook.
We'll also keep you dialed in with the latest RV innovations for people in the know.
Pull up a chair and join us around the digital campfire.
This is the RV Atlas. Hello, everybody, and welcome to today's episode of the RV Atlas. Today is kind of an exciting episode because our new book comes out today, believe it or not.
Finally, right?
It's been a long haul. I mean, publishing a traditional
print publication thing, it takes a while.
I mean, this process started not 2 years ago, but like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, traditionally, just for anyone out there that doesn't know, it does take a year from manuscript submission to release.
Well, that was the crazy part, is we turned the book in a year ago.
Yeah.
And the fact that it still takes a year. But I'm feeling really excited about this book.
You really like this book.
I do. And I just feel, and we were just, honestly, we were talking before we went on air, and I feel like this is just a very honest, real book filled with good advice, and it doesn't paint this fake picture of our family or of what RVing and camping has done for our family, but it just tells a real story about how meaningful it's been to us. And we also get into the bumps and bruises along the way.
Yes, this is definitely, if anything, a true story, right?
It's nonfiction.
It is nonfiction. It is a true story. This is not made up.
So listen, if you're in our Facebook group, the RV Atlas group, I've been asking everybody to post pictures of themselves when they get copies of the book, because those pictures make me happy. And in a month, I'm going to pick a random winner to get a $50 gift card to Bass Pro Shops and Cabela's, because I want to see pictures of all of you with your copies of See You at the Campground.
Did you tell people to use a hashtag?
I should have.
Yes, you should have. You need to go edit
hashtag?
That. See you at the campground.
But it's in Facebook. People don't use hashtags.
Yeah, but you can use the hashtag to find all the entries.
I can course correct. So listen, today's episode, we want to give you another sneak peek of the content of the book. So we're going to talk about one of the chapters that's called What's in It for the Kids. It's one of Stephanie's chapters. And we want to walk through what we think are the really great benefits to camping and RVing with your children and what they get out of it. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Thetford.
Thetford is the industry expert and innovation leader, and they have made RV travel a more pleasant experience for over 50 years. If you are planning on camping anywhere without sewer hookups this upcoming year, snag yourself a Smart Tote 2 four-wheel portable waste tank, which will allow you to easily empty that gray water during your stay so you can keep showering and you can, unfortunately, keep doing those dishes.
Right. So this episode is all about what the kids get out of camping and all the wonderful benefits. But then we have to remind everybody that what mom and dad get out of this is having to haul away the gray water.
All right. So the Smart Tote 2 is new and improved for 2020. And it has all these like new fancy things.
Well,
like
the question
like
I have for you,
heavy duty rubber wheels.
How could they even make it better?
Well, they did. They have an enhanced hose to tank connection.
Extensively road tested to ensure best in class performance and durability. They've been driving it all around the roads around Ann Arbor, Michigan.
They're terrible, those roads. They really are. They're awful. The potholes are terrible in Michigan.
I wonder if they drove one into Detroit. I don't even know if the
roads in Detroit are any better than the rest of the state. It's pretty rough out there in the winter.
We personally have used the 27-gallon Smart Tote 2 for years now. It's been reliable. It has helped us to extend our dry camping trips at a lot of the state parks that we love. And we recommend you get one too. So to check out all of Thetford's products, head on over to Thetford.com.
Now, before we dive into the specifics of what we feel like the benefits have been for our kids of this camping lifestyle, which for our older two started when they were 11 months old, and for our youngest started when he was 6 weeks old. Can I tell the story of kind of what inspired this?
Yes.
Years and years ago.
This, like the beginning of this journey.
Yeah. No, like the inspiration for this, like what's in it for the kids, because we actually did one of these episodes.
Five years ago.
Like it was probably episode 6 or 7. I mean, it was one of the earliest. And honestly, the thing that inspired me was a comment on our blog that was like a year into this or so. You know, our boys were probably like 2 years old, and some curmudgeon was like, well, that's all fine and good, but it's not like they're going to remember any of this anyway.
And that got your blood up, didn't it?
You know, it didn't. It made me sad that, like, I even let something like that in my ear, right? Like, I was like, oh, brother. Like, of course that's wrong on so many levels. But then I started to think about it and not just, like, be annoyed by it, but really think, like, well, why are we doing what we're doing with the kids? And, you know, my initial response to him was, you know, well, the kids aren't the only ones in the family. Like, we're having a heck of a time.
We count, too. Yeah. Our generation of parents needs to stop and say that like 10 times a day. Like, we count too.
Like, I don't really care if they remember, right? But then on an educator level, right, I have my master's degree in early childhood education. And
I've actually seen the diploma.
Like, it was so, it was like, think of what we do for our kids before they can remember it. And the fact is that studies show that those things are more important than most of the stuff that they remember years later, reading to them, right, when they're babies.
Things that happen in the womb matter, right? I mean, I've read a little bit about this.
Yeah, I made you read some things probably when I was pregnant.
But I mean, I have absolute confidence that we were shaping them as human beings. Whether they remembered it or not is kind of besides the point.
And I had instincts about that at that point, right? Enough instincts to be like, well, all right, buddy, here you go. Here's my answer to that. But then 10 years later, while we were writing this book, it was actually really the perfect opportunity for me to reflect on the gifts that I do think we gave to our kids through doing this. Things that I didn't even know were going to be benefits to them. And it was like really a special, this was a special chapter for me to write.
Two things I have to say about that. First of all, Booklist reviewed our book, and that's like this great publication for librarians. And in the review, they mentioned this chapter. Like, it seemed like the reviewer really liked this chapter, the gifts we give to our children. The second thing I would say is that, like, 5 years ago when we talked about this topic for the first time, I think that we kind of had the intuition that we were doing really good things for our kids, but we weren't exactly positive how all of that would play out. And now that Max and Theo are 10, I'm just absolutely positive. Like, I just flipped through this chapter before you pressed record over there, and every single one of these things, I was like, yep, this is true. This is true. This is true of our kids. These things have all materialized, and
we will dive into the list, I promise. But I do want to say one more thing. I had a couple come up to say hi at the RV show that I was at this past weekend, and they were listeners of the podcast and lovely. I mean, really sweet. Hi, Amy. And one of the things that she said was, you know, we really wish we had done this earlier on with our kids, because they started doing it when their kids were teenagers. And she said, like, we love it so much, but we just could never get them invested in it, into it, because we didn't start with them young. And I do honestly, not to discourage anybody out there, but I do think that makes a difference.
Right?
Yeah. But I mean, like, because we started this when our kids knew nothing else, I do think we reap the benefits of that too.
I would also say, I didn't get to meet Amy, but hi, Amy. And I think we should also say hi to Beth.
Beth
took a picture of you for
me. There was a lot of really nice listeners that came by. One gentleman, apparently, he wants an RV really badly, and his wife doesn't. And she was kind enough to come in and take a picture of me and him together.
Well, that was sweet.
And he was so cute. He was like, he goes, I thought I might fanboy over you too much. But, and his wife put up with the whole thing. So that was really lovely of her.
Well, you know what? The people of the great state of Ohio have always been lovely. But the point I wanted to make was this to Amy. I think that sometimes we invest things into our kids, whether they're young or whether they're teenagers, and we don't always see the results right away. And so we think that it didn't have an effect. But I don't think that's necessarily the case, Amy. I think that maybe that time and energy you invested in camping with your teenagers might play out in a really cool and interesting way. And you might see that it really did benefit their lives. You're just not seeing it now. And I've taught teenagers for 20 years. So I'm not just, you know, speaking nonsense
here. Right.
I mean, my point is this. teenagers are not always going to show you, and they're also not always going to show you that they are getting something good from you. They want to play it cool. So I might hold off on that thought a little bit, Amy, that you didn't give
poor
them.
Poor Amy. Stop saying her name. She's probably like, oh my God, they're like harassing me via the podcast.
I'm trying to encourage her. No, I just bet it did have a positive impact and you might not be seeing yet. And we didn't mention Amy's last name.
I don't even know Amy's last name.
So let's talk about the gifts that we feel we have given our children over 10 years of camping and RVing together as a family, and the gifts that we feel all of you are giving your children by camping and RVing together as a family. And the first one is the gift of flexibility. So Stephanie, what do you mean by that?
Yeah, I think that over the course of the years, we exposed our kids to so many different experiences that it really is remarkable to me their ability to like move between different kinds of situations, different kinds of campgrounds, different kinds of vacations. Like, you know, you might think, oh, well, we go to Disney and stay at a resort and like that's what our kids know. But like our kids also will dry camp at the Badlands and like Badlands National Park and be just as happy to scramble all over the rocks. And then they'll love a Jellystone in Sioux Falls, you know, or the resort by Mount, you know, Rushmore. Like they really do take advantage and like accept that every single kind of situation has its own benefits to
it. You just reminded me of another comment somebody made once that we kind of disagreed with. And we got an email from somebody who said like, oh, I'm sorry that your kids are not getting the more national park campground experience. Because at that time, we were camping probably more at private campgrounds.
100%.
When they were younger, you know. And now, after 10 years, like, we have camped at state parks, national parks, private campgrounds, KOAs, Jellystones. We've camped everywhere. And, like, I think of Max in particular. When we were at Assateague State Park, he's like in heaven there.
He's like,
and there's no organized activities. There's no pool. There's no gaga ball.
Just you and your bike and the beach.
Just him and the bike and the beach. And he's as happy as can be. And if you asked our kids what their favorite campgrounds were, it would be a real mix of places that have amenities and places that are just naturally beautiful.
Yeah. All right. So the second gift that we think we've given them from camping so much with them is the gift of sociability. So this is something that it took me years to watch play out. But campgrounds, you know, some people are so into getting off the grid and getting away. Well, what we did was we took our kids to campgrounds and watched as they made friends with other kids and learned how to play with other kids all over the country.
It's hard to be reclusive at a campground for adults or for children. And anybody that's taken your kids camping knows that they make fast friends. You know, like all of a sudden they know people's names over at the basketball court or at the gaga ball.
Well, they also learn just what camping friends were, right? Like we had friends that we would go camping with that we don't know from in our own area and everything. And they would only see them at the campground. And you just learned, you know, it's that old fashioned, like big herds of kids. That happens at campgrounds. And then this really remarkable thing occurred as they turned 7, 8, 9. They basically brought all of that training from the campground into our own neighborhood at home. So
our backyard is like a campground.
So when they started to turn an age where they could kind of be a little more independent, I very much pushed them to go knock on doors, right? Your friend so-and-so is right two doors down. You go, you ask people to play. Like I taught my kids how to do that.
And Stephanie, I'll be honest. When I was little, I wasn't good at that.
Yeah.
Like I remember my mom saying like, go over and say hello to those people that live across the street. And I was always very resistant to that.
Oh, they were resistant to it. They were like, Mom, we don't do it. I said, no, that is how you ask somebody if they can play. There's nothing embarrassing about knocking on a door and saying, can so-and-so play?
They have more friends in the neighborhood now
than
we do.
And they did it. And I am confident in saying, I don't think this is an exaggeration, that has transformed our neighborhood. Like, it brought all the kids out. The kids knock on our door all the time. Like, I actually think that my boys sort of perpetuated a certain culture in the neighborhood.
They turned our neighborhood into
a campground. I really believe that because I don't think that that's a natural thing that happens these days. And they'll have friends like from other parts of town that'll be like, oh, I wish, nobody knocks on our doors. Like, nobody
that's
goes around and plays in the neighborhood. But I've got 12 kids in my backyard on a daily basis.
And I think, you know, in the digital age, people are quick to judge and say, oh, today's kids are not being social, they're not getting outside. outside and playing, blah, blah, blah. Well, that's not true on our block.
No, and it's complicated. That's more complicated.
I know it's a complicated question.
I hate when people like point fingers at that when most parents are working till five and everything.
Well, and previous generations didn't have all these things to get distracted by.
Yeah, I mean, it's just, it's very complicated. But I'm happy that I just feel like our boys are, they taught the entire neighborhood how to play Gaga ball on our trampoline. That is a neighborhood game. They use a ball on the trampoline that has a net around it. To play
it's
Gaga
pretty
ball.
Awesome, actually.
Like, that is something that they brought from the campground into our neighborhood.
No major injuries yet, knock on wood. One more thought before we move on. I see the gift of flexibility and the gift of sociability as being very closely tied together. And I feel like when our kids do get into a new environment, whether it's they're moving up to middle school next year or they're starting out on the basketball team with people they don't know, I feel like their attitude is like, we can do this and we can make friends doing it.
Yeah. Yeah. I think they're not as intimidated because they've been in so many of those new social situations. So the next gift that we think we've given them by camping is the gift of imaginative play, which you kind of alluded to the old, like, kids these days don't, do this anymore. But our kids play outside.
I think it's a strength of campground kids and campground families. I mean, partly because, like, I think that most of us out there, most of our listeners feel safe at campgrounds and they feel safe to let their kids kind of roam around campgrounds a little bit. And for imaginative play to happen, you've got to step outside. I mean, you've got to step outside of the house. You've got to step outside of the RV. Of course, you can go on inside the house too, but you know what I mean? And I feel like just, again, it's that campground culture thing that they've brought back to our house, right?
Oh, yeah.
Get outside and find something to do that's fun.
Right, because at the campground, they'll build sandcastles if we're at Assateague and they just play in the sand for hours. Or if we're camping by a stream, they just sit there and they'll catch crawdads in the stream or whatever. Like, kids at a campground get very used to finding that natural kind of a thing. Like, a rock on a campsite can be played with all weekend long, right? Like, getting up on the rock, jumping off the rock.
And you know what? A good old-fashioned rock skipping contest can still occupy hours.
And they did learn how to, like, they've learned how to do things like that when they're camping. Like, they learned how to skip rocks in Michigan because that's the state of a professional rock skipper.
And they create some really elaborate, bizarre games. And you can kind of see how, as adults, this will be a really positive skill, whether they're starting a business or starting out on a career or building a home or building a family, whatever it might be. It all starts with imaginative play. I really believe it does.
All right. Now, the next gift that we think we've given them is the gift of physical activity.
They've been lively little campers since day one. Okay.
We just had to run them. That was the thing, is that our boys were brutal to us, like, at the beginning. They were nonstop. And when you had that inside, it just wore us down.
It drove us crazy.
And then you took it outside.
It was more manageable.
And we ran them. Right? We really did. Like, that's how we managed our kids when they were young. And honestly, it's still the case. I will never forget this past year when I'll never forget hiking the 12-mile hike to Grinnell Glacier. But I'll really never forget the fact that we came back to the campground and we couldn't move and our boys played in the pool for hours.
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 Like, 3 hours of running around the pool. And I personally actually could not move. Stephanie was still moving. Like, I really was physically in pain.
You were a wreck.
I was dehydrated. But no, they wanted to keep going and going and going. And when they were little, they would go and go all day, right up to bedtime. Then they'd wake up at 5:30. At the time, that tortured me, the fact that they would be up so early. Now some of my fondest memories are them getting up at 5:30 and having to find something to do with them or play a cartoon with them and lying down in bed with them while they were filled with energy and I could barely speak a sentence coherently.
Yeah. So I just think that our kids have spent a heck of a lot of time doing outdoor activities that we might not have done if we hadn't just embraced the camping lifestyle.
So we have some more gifts to talk about, things that we really think our kids have benefited from over the years because we have been campers and RV owners. But before we do that, we have a sponsored message from our friends at Jayco.
There is a reason that J-Flight has been America's best-selling line of travel trailers for more than a decade.
I believe it's 15 years now.
15 years
now. Pretty impressive.
That's pretty crazy. With family-friendly floor plans, plenty of standards and options, and Jayco's 2-year limited warranty, gives you no worries and all of the fun. Available in 3 different models, the J-Flight SLX, the J-Flight, and the J-Flight Bungalow. There's a floor plan for every camper.
Matt in our Facebook group and the RV Atlas group just recently posted a picture of a J Flight SLX with a fiberglass exterior.
That.
Looking pretty good.
Very sleek.
So congratulations to J Flight for 15 years of being America's number one travel trailer. So visit your local Jayco dealer or head on over to jayco.com for more information. Jayco, generations of family fun. Let's talk about the gift of patience. This one maybe is a little dicier and maybe not something that they exhibit every single day.
No, and that's the thing is you don't have to have mastered something to know that you're doing the right thing with your kids, right? And that's what I think is important to remember. Some people, especially people that like post on social media and everything, like to only talk about the things that they are wildly successful at. And I don't believe that. Like, the gift of patience is something that's important to me because it's the exact opposite of what's easy for my boys. And I believe that slow travel, spending hours and hours in the car without the ease of devices all the time, and, you know, fishing and having to wait a long time to catch a fish, and hiking and having to go miles before you get to the view. I think those things have been remarkable in challenging the boys on something that they're not necessarily very good at, to be honest.
The idea that there's a payoff for your hard work.
And
it's great that you brought up the hike. I mean, Grinnell Glacier had beautiful views the whole way. But most of the difficult hikes we've done over the years, it's like you're working hard to get to that place
to
where you
waterfall.
Can stop, relax, and enjoy the view and enjoy
and
the
Wesley
waterfall.
Snacks. Skittles. Do I get them yet? No, you got to hike a little bit more, buddy, right? And it's just that idea that the good things in life sometimes are worth waiting for, you know? And I do think, we talk more about slow travel in the chapter on road trip tips, but I actually believe, look, I like as much as anybody, everybody who listens to our podcast knows, I will get on a plane to fly across country rather than be in the car. But I think the value of slow travel is grossly underrated in our culture, right? We get everywhere too fast. We don't take our time looking out the window, being bored, letting our minds wander.
And then when you get to the campground, there's that like explosion of joy.
Yeah.
You know, as the kids burst out of the truck and run out and play. Next is the gift of curiosity. And I really do feel like all of our boys are really curious and adventurous in terms of, you know, they're willing to get into anything. I mean, I'm like so proud of Theo this year that he's really gotten into band and music, and all of the boys have different hobbies at this point. They're all very different and very curious.
Yeah. One of the thing that we hear most often from teachers at parent-teacher conferences is sort of how surprised they are, like, at how our boys know so many weird things, right? Like, because they have this really odd breadth of knowledge from kind of having traveled a lot more than the typical maybe 8-year-old or 9-year-old or 10-year-old.
60-year-old?
Yeah. So they, you know, the teacher will always be like, oh my gosh, like, I brought up this or I brought up that, and they, or even if they're doing historical things and they bring up something with the Revolutionary War, the Civil War, and the boys are like, oh, well, we went to this battlefield, you know? So they just have learned that there's so much out there for them to learn about. And I think that's great. They're always asking questions. It's always an opportunity for them to know, like, what was behind the building of
Mount
Rushmore.
And we've forged such great connections between their education and our travel. And anybody can do this. You know, you could do it at home. You could do it if you're homeschooling. You could do it if your kids are in a traditional classroom. But, like, I'll never forget their kindergarten teacher got them really interested in the presidents. And that got us really hyped up eventually to go to Mount Rushmore and to learn about Abraham Lincoln and go to Gettysburg. And I think it's always important to connect the things they're learning in books to the places that you actually go. And I think we've been very lucky over the years to do quite a lot of that.
Yeah. So the next gift that we've given them is a gift for the love of nature. And I think that this is, you know, might be said like, oh, well, yeah, of course, that's not, you know, you don't even need to say that. You're camping. But I think that I've seen not just a love of nature, but a concern for stewardship in our children. Like, so for instance, I'll never forget when we were at the Badlands and we stopped off at the prairie dog town, and there were people that were feeding the prairie dogs, and the boys were looking at me in absolute horror, like, Mom.
Well, the park ranger had taught them the night before not to do that. Like
they, right. You do not feed wild animals. Our boys know that. Our boys have a really healthy respect. Like, you see those videos of tourists, like, doing really dumb things in national parks. And, like, our boys have such an instinct about that kind of thing because of the years of natural wonders that we've shown them, right? Like, respect this. You don't leave trash behind you. You don't.
And that they've learned quite easily. Like, you don't leave trash on a campsite. What's been a little bit harder, which I've tried to do, hopefully successfully, is even if there's trash on the campsite that's not from us,
yeah,
I tell them, you know, leave it better than you found it. That kind of mentality that we should all bring into camping. And they are sometimes resistant about that. Like, oh, sure, we didn't put that there to begin with. And I'm like, well, let's leave it right for the next person because we don't want them showing up with trash on the site.
Yeah, I just want them to be in wonder of nature, right? Like, to be truly in awe of what it does and how it works. And I think that, like, Mount St. Helens was a really important place for us too that way. Like, all of that information about how, you know, the natural world was decimated and came back, and that whole hike that we did that was literally walking through different stages of sort of revival of the land after a volcanic eruption, and just like them watching just that magic.
I think they were in awe of nature at places like Mount St. Helens, you know, and that whole trip to the Pacific Northwest. So the last gift that you talk about in this chapter, one of Stephanie's chapters from the books, and if you, you know, if you haven't pre-ordered the book yet or you haven't heard us talk about it yet, we alternate chapters in the book. So Stephanie writes a chapter, then Jeremy writes a chapter, Stephanie writes a chapter, Jeremy writes a chapter, which worked out really, really well. Because if we actually tried to write the chapters together, like, we just can't write that way. I think we would have had some serious marital issues.
More marital issues.
So the last gift you talk about, which, you know, I really love, and I think that, you know, after 10 years of doing this, we're starting to get this kind of broader perspective on what we've actually done together as a family, is the gift of a family narrative. So what do you mean by that? And I've been really feeling this one lately.
Yeah, our boys camp, right? And they know they camp. And they know, like,
oh, their kids will camp.
They want to know. It's funny. You're just saying you've been feeling this lately. Well, yeah, because what? It's February. And lately, they've been like, where are we going this summer? Like, they know. They know there's both, like, sort of small family getaways with camping friends that we take. And they're like, so when are we going to camp with, you know, these friends that they love? And then they know that there's the big adventure that they might get on a plane for. And Wes has been like, where's the bit?
Are we renting a motorhome?
Wes is very excited about the motorhome rental. Yeah. And he's just dreaming of that. He talks about it all the time. And I'm like, dude, you've got months to go.
It's just like
settle
a given.
Down.
It's like it's the end of winter and they're just like, okay, where are we going? Like it's in the family DNA.
But then it's also in the family story, right? When you talk to our kids about, like, when we have conversations, our conversations just include these really epic adventures that we've had together. They're still talking about the Pacific Northwest. They're still talking about Mount Rushmore. They're still talking about all these places that we've gone with them.
When we lie down together at night, I give them a little back rub before bed. I always ask them, like, well, what was your favorite KOA? What was your favorite Jellystone? What was your favorite State Park? What's the best hike you've ever been on? And they're just always so willing to answer. And it's like, oh, that one's hard. Or sometimes it's easy to answer. But I mean, they love talking about these things. And I would say almost every single meal that we share together, we end up talking about somewhere we've traveled.
Yeah, sure.
At least 75% of the time.
Yeah, or they'll have a question about it, or, you know, what was that food called or whatever. It's just part of our blood as a family. And I really love that look, I actually believe we're too busy. We're too sucked into the rat race. Like, sometimes it's like, oh my gosh, pump the brakes. There's sports. There's this. It feels like every day, you know, is a sprint. And I'm like, I feel like I'm so just thrilled that in spite of that, right? It's not like we've completely checked out of all that and we like went the road less traveled. Like, we're pretty much on the road, traveled.
There's some
right
things
now
to like about that busy life
but
too.
But we've done something in spite of all of that that's like created this really strong family narrative, and that's very meaningful to me.
Yeah. So see you at the campground. Our brand new book, it's A Guide to Discovering Community, Connection, and a Happier Family in the Great Outdoors, is out in bookstores across the country. You should be able to walk into a Barnes & Noble today and get it. You can buy it online at Amazon, Target, Books A Million, IndieBound, Walmart. If you want to shop local and get it at an independent bookstore and they don't have it, please ask them to order a copy. That would be great. And if you do buy the book and you read it and you like it, we would be eternally grateful for an Amazon review. And show us a picture of you and your brand shiny new copy of the book in the RV Atlas group.
And hashtag it, see you at the campground.
And hashtag it, see you at the campground.
I'm going to help Jeremy with his contest here.
And we'll be back with a couple more podcasts this week. And
we're going to talk about what's in it for the parents.
Yeah, the next one we're going to talk about what's in it for us. Because we do matter too, even though our generation has sort of given up on that, I think, and let the kids rule supreme.
And then I get my own podcast episode this week.
You haven't told me what you're doing yet.
I demand it. I demand my own podcast episode. I have this thing where I always have these random like collection of information that I always want to share with our podcast
that I have
audience,
like nothing to do with.
And I just never get around to it, right? And so, this week I was like, I'm going to do a recurring episode, right? That every couple of weeks I hop on and I just
it's
do.
It's like Stephanie's
it's
episode.
It's just my episode, my thoughts, random thoughts.
Love it. And thank you to everybody that pre-ordered. It was really exciting seeing our book become the number one new release in the camping category on Amazon.
And in the budget travel guides.
Number one in budget travel guides and number one in the family travel guide category.
Yeah, there was
so three. Thank you so much for all your pre-orders and all your encouraging words and your support. We really appreciate you guys, and we hope to see you all at the campground.
See you at the campground. A big thank you for listening to this episode of the RV Atlas.
And a big thank you to our sponsors, Jayco, Thetford, Cabela's, Jellystone, and Go RVing. They provide great quality products and resources for RVers and also support the production of this show. We personally believe in them and are happy to share our favorite products with you.
You can find blog posts and links with everything mentioned in this episode over at thervatlas.com.
And you can join the friendliest group of RVers over on Facebook in our private RV Atlas group.
And as always, we'll see you at the campground.
See you at the campground.